you for gathering in our virtual revival. God is among us, just as he promised in his word. So let us be transformed in his presence through our worship and our praise. My brothers and sisters, here we are in the presence of the Lord. We come into his presence seeking peace, seeking hope, seeking comfort. We come asking for a blessing as we seek revival. We want the Lord to equip us now to be his people, saved and sent, and to be a blessing for all in the world. Let us pray. Holy God, we come before your presence thanking you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We humbly beseech you, seeking renewal and revival. Search us, dear Lord. Remove all in our lives that is not according to your will. Repair all the brokenness in our lives. Remold us, reshape us, and revive us so that your glory may be seen in us. Amen. At this time, we will have our revival hymn, The Spirit Song.
Thank you.
this week are as follows. Coming to us from Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, it reads, "The high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the Holy One says this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts." Our next scripture comes to us from Acts chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And it reads, "Now repent of your sins and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. At this time, we will be favored with another musical selection.
Thank you.
the end. And even in a pandemic, he is still worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, my brothers and sisters. We come out this evening to worship and to praise the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And tonight I have the privilege to present to some and introduce to others a native son of Memorial United Methodist Church. He is the Reverend Henry Donnell Fitzjeffries, born here in High Point. He is the older of two sons, and he is the brother of Michael Edward Jeffries, and he was born to Henry Edward Jeffries and Betty Ann Jeffries. Pastor Donnell was educated in the Guilford County school system. He graduated from T. Wingate Andrews High School here in High Point. After high school, he earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in English from Boston University and a Master of Divinity degree from the Divinity School at Duke University. Pastor Donnell also earned a Doctor of Ministry degree from Hood Theological Seminary. Pastor Donnell has served several appointments in the Western North Carolina Conference. He began at Berry Temple in Asheville. He then went to Metropolitan United Methodist Church in Greensboro, and then he served at St. Mark in Charlotte and Brooks Temple and St. Stephen's in Davidson County. He is currently the eminent pastor of St. Matthew's United Methodist Church in Greensboro. He has also served on the Western North Carolina Conference as the Director of Nurture and Ethnic Ministries. Pastor Donnell is married to Kathleen Elizabeth Fitzjeffries, and they have one son, Jacob Samuel Stinger, of Eagleville, Pennsylvania. If you don't know anything else about Pastor Donnell, he wants you to know this tonight, that he believes in God's abundant grace and that it is offered to all people. He seeks to help others enrich their spiritual lives so that they can lead others to Christ. So at this time, my brothers and my sisters, I want to receive warmly the angel of the hour, the Reverend Donnell Fitzjeffries.
Amen. It's so good to be back home again.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I grew up sitting down in that pew right down there. Listening to this trio singing takes me back to the music that I grew up with and that I love and that helped me find Jesus in my own life.
Yes, sir.
Now, Robert Ingram, pastor of this church, called me and said, "What night do I want to preach?" I said, I'll keep that money.
All right.
But then he told me tonight who's going to be coming on Tuesday and Wednesday. Now, Charisse Lindsay will be here tomorrow night, and Dale Sneed on Wednesday night.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to know that when Charisse comes, you had best put buttresses up against these walls, because it's going to be a Holy Ghost rolling good time.
All right, all right.
And the way that we're going to preach, the walls might just have to come on down.
All right, all right.
Amen. So good to be here with you.
Amen.
There's a word tonight coming from the Gospel of Luke. In the 7th chapter, I'm going to start at verse 36. And I'm going to read for us down through verse 40. And I'm going to read from the Message translation of the Bible. Now, some of you may be familiar with this story. It's about Jesus going to eat a meal at the house of a Pharisee called Simon. Mm-hmm. It says, one of the Pharisees asked him over for a meal. He went to the Pharisee's house and sat down at the dinner table. Now, it says that he sat down at the dinner table, but in those days, we really didn't have seats like we do.
Yes,
so what he really did, it was kind of a dining mat all made out with food all on it, and you laid there on the side with your left hand holding you as you ate with your right hand.
Yes, sir.
So it really should read that he laid at the dinner table. Just then, a woman of the village, now get this, the town hall, having learned that Jesus
was a guest at the home of the Pharisee, came with a bottle of very expensive perfume, and stood at his feet, weeping, raining tears on his feet. Letting down her hair, she dried his feet with them, and she anointed them with perfume. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw all of them, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, I thought he was, he would have known what kind of woman this is falling all over him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Jesus said to him, Simon, I have something to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Simon said, oh, tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray.
Yes, sir.
Lord, we open our hearts and minds to you this evening. Come now and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Guide us in this time together, Lord. We are your people and you are our God. Come and have your own way. You are the Father and we are your way. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
If I were to think about what kind of ties this verse together,
yes, sir,
for what the message is tonight, it may be something like this. Expectation in missed opportunity.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, the stage is set. The Pharisees were testing Jesus. When he was invited to the home of the Pharisees, that wasn't a kind invitation.
Yeah.
It wasn't a pleasant, come on over here, I like you, I want you to have a meal in my house. The Pharisees wanted to test Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They were trying to see if he really is a prophet, but they had this bent of thinking, this guy was going to cause a whole lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So Simon said, come on over for a meal, and Jesus accepted.
Yes, sir.
But you know, what you expect somebody to be and who they are often is a wide gap like the Grand Canyon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We live in a sense of expectation. We have these assumptions that we make about one another. We have these assumptions churches make about preachers.
Amen.
Preachers got assumptions they make about churches.
Amen.
When you go to a preacher's coming to the church, what happens? Yes, spies go out.
All right.
You have church that preacher going to come from here. Phone calls go out.
Yes,
emails start to roll.
Yes, sir.
The text starts to blow up.
Yes, sir.
Facebook starts saying certain things.
Yes, sir.
They all want to know about who this man, who this woman is,
yes,
who's going to come to our house thinking that they know something.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But on the other side,
yes, sir,
preachers' phones blow up too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Preachers' texts blow up too.
Yes, sir.
Preachers' emails start to blow up too. Because they want to know, who are these people?
Amen.
That I'm being sent to do something.
Yes, sir.
Expectation.
Uh-huh.
Assumption. Based upon what you heard,
mm-hmm,
what's been rumored,
mm-hmm,
what other folk think,
yes, sir,
that may have nothing to do with who that person really is, who that church really is.
Yes, sir.
Well, there was a woman,
mm-hmm,
in the town.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The message says she was the town hall. Well, I mean, she was the woman that folk didn't think much of.
Uh-huh.
But everybody wanted to be around a certain time. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
She was the one that wouldn't admit that you kept company with.
Mm-hmm.
Because of her chosen profession. She was the one who was the town center. She took on the sin of everybody. Because
yeah,
I could always prove that I was better. Because my expectation is, you would always be worse.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that how expectations work and assumptions work?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I can always prove I'm better than you because I never let you be more than I assume you ought to be. And I do everything in my power to help you live up to the expectation of my assumption.
Mm-hmm.
I don't reach out. I don't reach in. I don't reach down except to put my foot up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And hold right where you are.
Mm-hmm.
She was a town hall who had heard that this man called Jesus,
yes, sir, yes, sir,
was at the house of a Pharisee who would have nothing to do with Now you see, meals in that day and time weren't like coming over to Brother Ingram's house for a meal and he is dead. In that day and time, when you invite someone like Jesus to your house, the whole town came over. They would actually stand around the walls and watch people eat. Because it was an event to see someone like Jesus eating with the Pharisees, and folk were just watching like a football game. And this woman, who must have heard about Jesus, who must have heard about his healing, who must have heard about his love and his grace, who must have heard about his forgiveness, had an expectation. She had an expectation that even someone who people reviled, thought little of, discounted, a woman who carried the shame of a whole city. She had a hope that this man called Jesus could somehow change her mind.
Yes, sir.
That somehow this man could see her for who she was and not leave her there and there.
Yes, sir.
That this man could somehow transform her life and pull her up and help her to be who she always wanted to be. So when she came into the house, she made a beeline for Jesus.
Yes, sir.
It said she kind of fell down at his feet. And she started crying. She couldn't see a word. She just started crying with tears, fell down on his feet. And when she saw her tears in his feet, she unfurled her head. Oh, she was scandalous. But you see, in old days, when you start touching somebody's feet, that meant you were up to something.
Yeah, yeah.
And given her profession, they thought she was about to start something.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were right. Something was about to get started, yeah, but not what they expected.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So she let down her hair, and she wiped her tears from his feet with her head. And then she knelt all the way down and started kissing this man's feet. And then when she got finished kissing his feet, she let out that expensive perfume. And she started wiping and anointing his feet with all the things she could afford to eat. And Simon the Pharisee, who saw all this taking place, thought to him, I love the way he said, you said, he thought to himself.
Yes.
He didn't say it out loud. He had it somewhere up here and somewhere in here. He thought to himself.
Yes, sir.
This man was a prophet. If he was the kind of prophet I expect him to be, he would know all about this woman.
Yes, sir.
He would know all about this woman who fall all over him. He wouldn't let her touch him because she's a queen. But here he is. Now, the funny thing about what's up here, it was in here. What we think we hide on the inside, it can't stay here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It always finds a way to come on out. So Jesus, knowing what Simon was thinking, knowing what was in his heart, said, Simon, I got something to tell you.
Yes, sir.
Simon said, oh, what you got to say to me? And then Jesus began to tell him a story about two men who owed a great deal of money to their master.
Yeah.
He said, you know, one owed about 15 shekels, and the other owed about 200 shekels. And the man who owed the money forgave them both.
Yeah.
Tell me, Simon, if you can. Tell me if you dare to. Which one do you think?
Yes, sir.
Was more thankful?
Yes, sir.
Was more grateful? And Simon said, well, I don't know. Seems to me, the one that owed the more money, he was the one that was probably more thankful.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Simon, you expect this woman to be nothing. You expect this woman to always live in the
truth. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Expectation and assumption. When I was in college, I had a friend. This friend of mine had a habit of saying a cuss word beginning with L, followed by being left. And every time he spoke, every sentence contained that word at least 5 or 6 times. We were surprised when he was saying, when he felt lonely. We was happy. He couldn't say a sentence without saying that cuss word. Folk expected him to be dumb and stupid. They expected him not to have been able to write 2 sentences all together because he always used that word. But we took a rhetoric class together. The rhetoric was a class that taught you how to write. And we started writing our essays on our rhetoric class. Everybody expected him to have the worst essay in the whole class because every third word was F. Well, he wrote his rhetoric project, I wrote my rhetoric project. When he got up and read his rhetoric project, it sounded like Wordsworth, it sounded like Hemingway, it sounded like Shakespeare.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody stood in the class with their mouths wide open. They expected him to sound like a hero. They didn't take the opportunity to see him for who he was, to understand what was going on and what God was doing on the inside. Simon expected this woman to always be what she always was.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But Jesus said that, Simon, when I came to your door, you didn't have any water.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You need to wash my feet. When I entered your house, you didn't greet me. But this woman has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't have anything to refresh me, Simon. But this woman, anointed my feet with the most expensive perfume she could afford. Simon, look at her. Then Jesus turned from Simon to the woman. He said to the woman, you are forgiven.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And she was happy. But you know who was upset? You know who was mad? The Pharisee.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because he had just upset their expectation about what a prophet is supposed to be. He had just upset their expectations about who this woman was supposed to be. He had just upset their expectations about how life is supposed to be.
Yes.
How many churches had upset expectations? Because the preacher they got,
yes, sir,
was something different than what they expected,
yes,
they deserved. How many preachers got upset because the church they were sent to didn't quite match up to the end? They had in mind. How many churches fall apart?
Yes, sir.
Because rather than allowing themselves to be surprised and led by Jesus, everybody is busy trying to get their own expectations.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Fussing, hollering, shouting. Never come to agreement for anything. Because everybody thinks they know what's best.
Yes, sir.
Expectations, missed opportunities. When we are able to come to the feet of Jesus and allow ourselves to be who we are, when we see the sin that's alive in us, but allow the grace of God to take over us, when we're able to cry tears to the feet of Jesus, to anoint his feet with our tears, and to wash them off with our hair, I can find something else that ain't got no hair, but we erase that, and then we go to the feet of Jesus and start to kiss them.
Yes, sir.
We become a part of who he is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And he takes us as his own. If we think we don't need forgiveness, God can.
can't do anything with us. If we keep on measuring by the yardstick of our own life, by the rules we make up within ourselves, by what the world judges them to be, God can't transform anything. The church is not where we come to be. It's where we come to be made righteous.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we don't do that by ourselves. Righteousness is not what you earn. It's what God gives. Let me say that again. Righteousness is not what you earn.
Yes, sir.
By following a set of rules.
Yes, sir.
Righteousness is not what you did by sitting like an angel on Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Or living like the devil's your friend on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What did I say?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Righteousness is not what you did by serving a church hall.
Mm-hmm.
By sitting in the church.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Righteousness is what God gives you. Because God wants your life to bear. God wants you to be what you were created to be.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God wants to say, even though what comes out of your mouth sometimes may not sound like much, if you let me be you,
yes, sir.
I'm going to reveal the Shakespeare inside.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm going to show you how to transform the world around you in my power and by my spirit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're going to take my forgiveness upon yourself. You're going to forgive one another. Live with one another. And help somebody climb a little higher. You see, the church is where the sick folk come.
Yes, sir.
When I say sick, I mean you. I mean me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean Pastor Amy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I mean the choir. Yes, it's where we all come who are sick and in need of healing.
Yes, sir.
It's where we all come to be transformed and made new. It's where we all come to be received just as we are. Because no, we're not going to be judged and condemned. But you know, we're going to find somebody who can love us like you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And somebody we can love that same way. It's a place we come to fall down with the feet of God. To cry out to you. To shout our testimony.
All right.
To make a joyful noise.
Yes, sir.
And to go back into the world as disciples who take what they did inside and spread it all around outside. Man, you do know, don't you? That this is not, we had a bounce down.
Yes, sir.
And I ask people, where do you spend the majority of your time? Work. Most folks spend a great majority of their time at work. How much time do you spend in church? Maybe an hour. If you sit on a committee, you may give an extra hour. But not more than 3 in a week, if that. So where is it most important that you show that you are a disciple? In the church where you come from 1 to 3 hours? Or in your workplace where you're there from 8 to 12 hours.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In your home where you're there from 5 to 8 hours. In your recreation time where you may be there for another 4 hours. Discipleship is not what we do in this building.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's what we do out there where we live the majority of our life. It's in there, out there, is where we meet this woman. Who's being put down, put out. Out there
is where we meet the Pharisees and Sadducees.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Who live by rules that nobody ever lived up to.
Yes, sir.
Out there is where we encounter the hurt, the broken, the lost, and the lost. Out there is where what we do in here becomes real.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So if you want to know how the church grows, if you want to know how folk come to Jesus,
yes, sir.
It's not because of what happened right here on Sunday morning. It's because what happens here on Sunday morning is made powerful because of what has happened out there.
Yes, yes.
365:24. Are you ready? Are you ready to be transformed? Are you ready to have your expectations shook up? Are you ready to change your assumptions and live a brand new life? Are you ready to help somebody climb a little higher? Are you ready to give God everything that you got? And trusting that even when you feel all spent out, God's bank ain't empty yet. And God's going to give you more of what you need to keep on living an abundant and full life. If you're ready, God's ready for you. He's at your house right now. He's at your table right now. Fall down at his feet right now.
Yes, sir.
Cry with him right now.
Yes, sir.
Anoint him right now and be anointed by him right now.
Yes, sir.
Call out to him right now.
Yes, sir.
And he's going to give what you need.
All right.
Right now.
Yes, sir.
In the name of the Father, the Son, in the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we can open our hearts and minds. Usually have an altar call. We really have to have an altar call right at your own. We're going to pray together.
Yes, sir.
And if you have a testimony you want to shout out, go ahead and start shouting that testimony. If you've got a concern in your heart and mind, name it right now.
Yes, sir.
We may not be able to hear you, but somebody listen.
Yes, sir.
Somebody who knows all about you knows what's going on with you.
Yes, sir.
Somebody is right there beside you.
Yes, sir.
You're not by yourself. So shout it right now. Lord, here we are. The sun has gone down, the night is gone. But Lord, there is a rising in our hearts and minds. There is a newness of life that is coming to be through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, there is a spirit alive in the place where I am. There is a hope that cannot be put down. Lord, if anything in me has been judgmental, condemning, if anything in me has hurt somebody, has put them out, if anything in me has been wrong, make me right, O Lord. Reshape my whole life. I give it up, Lord, that you can take me and shape me and use me as you will. Send me, Lord, I'm going to go. Challenge me, Lord, and I will grow. Lift me up, Lord. And I'm going to bring another child with you. Show me how to love somebody in such a way that they are loving because they can't give nothing back to me. Show me how to forgive somebody because now I realize you can't forgive it. Show me how to make somebody free because with your forgiveness, I've been liberated. The world can't own me, no. All my temptations, all my trials, I walk through them with you right by my side. I am mastered by nobody because you are the Lord God, master of my life. Here we are.
Hear our prayers, Lord.
Yes, God.
Hear our call. Hear the testimonies that we scream out right now. Oh, Lord, I'm here to ask you to be with the family of Sister Scott who's come home to you. Be with them, Lord. Be with Brother Stewart.
Yes,
going through rehab. Be with others that we name right now. You hear us. We lift them up to you because there's no better place to be. Thank you, Lord. For Brother Ronnie, the pastor, the prophet, the angel of this. Bless him, Lord. Uplift him. Empower him, Lord. And through the word he preached, through the teachings that he gives out, through the care and concern that he shared, he might be a blessing to Memorial United Methodist Church. So Memorial United Methodist Church could go all through Hopper sharing a good word of hope. Uplift his wife. In the ministry you've given to her, so that her churches, you're in all through Greensboro, and somebody's going to know something good has been set loose in the world. I pray for my wife, for her healing, Lord, that you can touch her in that pleurisy and let that inflammation go down. I pray for my father, who's just turned 81. I pray for your people.
Yeah.
We need you. Show us the way. And let a song be enough.
Yeah.
So that when we come home, and I don't mean to the houses we walk, when we come home, I don't mean to the jobs that we're in.
Yeah.
When we come home in spirit, in the truth, we will know what it means to be alive, to thrive, and to have abundance that the world just can't.
Yes, sir.
Bless us, keep us, shine upon us.
Yes, sir.
We give you thanks. Amen.
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 Amen. My brothers and my sisters, we want to thank Pastor Donnell S. Jeffries for that wonderful word about assumption and missed opportunity as we have our expectations. My brothers and my sisters, God is able to go beyond all of our expectations and assumptions. And he's able to do something greater than we could ever imagine or think. And so tonight, I just want to thank you again for just coming to bring that word to us tonight to help us to grow into the people that God is calling us to be. As I stand tonight, my brothers and sisters, I want to make an offertory appeal to you. For the Memorial Church family, we know what our assignment is for revival. If you have not got your assignment completed, it's still time to get your assignment in. But for others who may not be a part of the Memorial family and you would like to sow a seed to help this ministry continue to grow and spread, you can send your check to Memorial United Methodist Church, located at 1327 Cedro Drive in the city of High Point. We just pray God's blessings upon each and every one of you as you give, because it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And again, we thank Reverend Donnell Fitz Jeffries for what he has allowed the Lord to do in him this evening. So, my brothers and my sisters, as we get ready to dismiss, I'm going to ask the Reverend Daniel Fitzgerald to come back and give us the benediction in his own words.
Thank y'all for receiving me this evening. God has truly been good. It's been good to be back home with you.
Yes, sir.
It's good to see faces that are familiar. Voices I grew up with this ministry.
Amen.
Y'all wonderful. I don't know how long I'm going to need that too.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all just see that thing like I do, but I was this high.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God. I started. You know, I preached my first sermon here when I was about 18 years old. It was 5 years long.
Amen.
Everybody in the church stood up and applauded. That was the quickest day out of church they ever had. I'm not 5 minutes anymore.
Praise God. Praise God.
But because of you, your remark,
yes, sir.
I've been able to grow in this spirit.
Yes, sir.
You have taught me when to love God.
Yes.
And I take you with me everywhere, every. I take you through every trial and through every year. I take my Sunday school teachers who taught me how to read the Bible.
Amen.
I take all the women of this church who have cooked great meals for me and you. I take those of you who have encouraged me.
Yes, sir.
Even a few who challenge me.
Yes, sir.
I take all of you as signs of how good God is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And now, may the Lord not only bless you, but may the Lord challenge you. May the Lord not only give you peace, then may you take the peace that the Lord gives you and share it in the world, so when the world can't understand what's going on, they can trust the Lord.
Yes, God.
May the Lord meet you in your dream and speak to you tenderly. Speak to you in a still small voice that the winds and the rain and the storm cannot overcome.
Yes, God.
And may you wake up everyone with thanksgiving in your hearts, joyful words on your lips, being convinced that you are loved.
Yes, sir.
And the great Father who made us, and the Son who has saved
us, yes,
and redeemed us, and of the Holy Spirit who gives us strength to live life every day.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. We will see you again tomorrow night at 7 p.m. God's blessings upon you.